The last class, what was it? Formation of the church. Alright. Formation of the church. When was the church formed? Or is the birthday of the church? The day of Pentecost. Pentecost means? Yeah, 50th day, isn't it? 50. Alright. So that means you all understand what Torah teaches, isn't it? Alright, now, come to the next topic. All tired? What you're playing there today? Football. Volleyball. Football. That's why. Alright, now, come to the next topic in the study of our church. If you want to write a title for this class, you can write like this: Autonomy of the Churches. Autonomy. You know the spelling? You know the spelling of auto, right? Auto rickshaw, auto. Yeah, write that first. And then nomi. No. And my. That makes autonomy. Autonomy of the churches. A-U-T-O-N-O-M-Y. What do you mean by that word, autonomy? Independent. Yeah, that's a simpler word. Independent. Isn't it? Independent. So that means independence of the churches. Alright? Independence of the churches. It's a very hard topic, in fact. Right? Harder than what we have been considering all this series. But we will make it as simple as possible, and we will go only to the depth which we can understand. Alright? That which is essential for you to understand about it, we will be seeing. Now, if you share about, you know, our own churches, you know, the assemblies with one of your friends in the class, and you say brethren church or brethren assemblies and all that, and they may ask like this, where is your head office? Has anybody asked like that? Or you never tell anybody? Huh? Has anybody asked like that? Where is your head office? Our head office in this place, that place? Huh? Where is your head office? Who is the one who is controlling? Nobody has ever asked? Yes, yeah. If you speak about Jesus Christ and the churches and all that, to others, our friends and all, would ask like that, isn't it? Now tell me, where is our head office? Tell me, where is our head office? Mumbai, is it? Now in this class, we are trying to see that, in fact. Alright? In this class, we are going to see that each local church is autonomous. Autonomous. You may be familiar with this word, autonomous universities. Alright? What does that mean? Yeah, sorry? They are not affiliated to any other universities. They are administered by and supported by itself, isn't it? That is autonomous universities, autonomous bodies. So we often use this word autonomous. And the same word we are using in connection with the church, autonomous, autonomy. Our local churches are autonomous. Now in what all ways they are autonomous? Before we come to that, it is necessary for us to, you know, dwell upon certain basic truths in connection with that. Now we were referring mainly to two verses in our study on the universal church and the local church. Which are those verses? Matthew 16:18. What is that? Tell me. Tell me what is that? Without opening to the Bible. Yeah. Thou art Peter. Yeah. Upon this rock I will build my church. Okay. Now, there was another verse also which we referred to. Which one? Matthew 18:20. Alright. Now tell me, what is that verse? where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. Alright, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. Now, think about both those verses, alright? Think about both those verses. There is one word that's common in both the verses. Can you tell me which word it is? There is one word which is common in both the verses. What is that? I. My. Yeah, come on. In my name. Alright? Gathered in my name. Or gathered unto my name. And at the same time, in the other verse, in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church. My church. My name. Now think about that word, my. When the Lord told about that word, my church, and when he said that it is gathered unto his name, my name, in that word, my, there are at least three ideas implied. All right? Three ideas. Number one, a relationship. Number two, a representation. And number three, ownership. You want me to repeat them? Do you want me to repeat them? Unless you say yes, I'm not going to do it. Yes. Number one, relationship. Number two, representation. And number three, ownership. What are these? What are these? Yeah, the ideas in that word. My. When the Lord said, my church, at least these three ideas are there in it. Relationship, representation, and ownership. Alright? You think about, anything which you say that it is mine. My father, my mother, my sister, my brother, my pen. Isn't it? When you say all that, first of all, what is implied is a relationship. Now, about the church, the Lord is telling, my church. Alright? My church. So the first thing that brings before us, our truth that comes before us is that relationship. He is related to us and we are related to him. We are related to him and he is related to us at least in two ways. Number one is in life and number two is in love. Or there is a life relationship and there is a love relationship. His life he has given us and not only that, we have his love as our possession. Did you all understand what I said? Did you all understand what I said? Or am I hitting sixes? Going above your head? Yes? No? Now, I was just trying to explain that relationship, alright, that we have with the Lord. Two kinds of relationship. What are they? Life and love. We have received his life. We have received his life. Can you tell me at least one verse to prove that? That we have his life as a possession. At least one verse from anywhere in the Bible. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, so he said, he is life, isn't it? That's not what I am saying. What I am asking is, one verse from anywhere in the scripture telling that a believer possesses his life. So much discussion to find a verse about that. Yeah, tell me. For God so loved the world, sir. John 3:16, what is it? Whosoever believes, what will he have? He shall not perish, but he will possess the everlasting life. You don't remember that verse, John 3:16. So those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ has this life in him. Everlasting life. Or eternal life. What does that mean? What is eternal life? Forever. Life that never ends, is it? Everlasting. Eternal. After death? Which will never die. But let me tell you one thing. The life in the hell also. Come on now. Life there also, in the hell also, never ends. You know that? Life in the hell also never ends. Even that is eternal. So when you say eternal life, when you say everlasting life, it's not about the length of that life. Did you understand that? It's not about the length of that life, but it is about the quality of that life. When you say eternal life, it means a life that never began. A life that will never end. No beginning, no end. There is only one life which doesn't have any beginning and end, and that is God's life. Which is never created. And when we say that we have eternal life, it is about that life. God's life has become ours. His life has become our life. It's true about every believer. What a possession, isn't it? If there's anybody who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, well, you have to think about it. What a great blessing, what a great gift you are missing. The Lord doesn't want any one of you to miss that eternal life. Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. That's necessary. So once you do that, you have His life as your possession. And you have a life relationship with Him. God is your Father and you are His child. And the second thing I said was what? Love. Behold what? Manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. He should be called the sons of God, the children of God. He has given us His life. Another portion says that love is actually poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's there inside. Alright? God's love, that agape love is there inside. So in love also I am related with Him. So when the Lord said, my, it tells about a relationship. And it has two qualities in it. Life, in two ways the relationship is there. Life and love. What was the second thing I said? What was the second thing I said about that word my? Representation. Representation. Suppose I say like this, I have my man there in that state or in that place. What does it mean? There is somebody to represent me there, isn't it? So now the Lord says, my church. There's a group of people there in the world. They're mine. Means a representation. We represent Him over here in this earth. And in this representation also, well, there are two things. We represent His nature and we represent His authority also. Are you all writing it down? Are you all writing it down? Or are you in some other world? Thinking about what you ate. Is it? So representation, alright? Representation. Two. One is nature. We represent His nature. Number two is we represent His authority also. Authority. When I say we represent His nature, what I mean is, we are in this world to show His life to the people around. Think about the nature, the characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is love. He is what all? Long-suffering, right? He is meek. He is humble. Then, anything else? Yeah, a lot of things we can say, isn't it? All those natures, we are also partakers of it. Peter says that in 2 Peter 1:4. Also, we have those nature inside. We have to show it. In the class where we are studying, right? Not telling about the ABC, but in the college, in the school, and in the locality where you live, the home you live. That is representing His nature. And not only the nature, but authority also. The Lord said, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. Will ye, can you tell me that? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Remember that? Who said that? Yeah, the Lord said. We call it as a great commission, isn't it? So the Lord gave that commission. So He said, I have received all authority. Go ye therefore. We have that authority. We represent His authority. Not going into the details of it. So relationship, representation. Now the third one was what? Ownership. Ownership. When the Lord said, my church, it implies ownership also. When I say, this is my Bible, it means I own it. Right? Yes or no? Yeah. If I say my pen, it means I own it. Alright? It is mine. So my implies what also? What also? Loudly. Ownership. Ownership. So tell me, three things we saw now. Number one, relationship, representation, and ownership. Now when we study about this topic about the church, which topic? This topic? Yeah? Autonomy. When you study about this autonomy, the third point is what we have to remember. Alright? You missed something there? What is that? Ownership. Yeah. About ownership? I'm sorry? Meaning of that ownership. Okay. Thank you. Good that you asked. Meaning of that ownership. You know, what I explained is, you know, looking at our mobile, we say it is mine, isn't it? Yeah? You took out the mobile now. That's why I said that. All right. Looking at that mobile, you can say it's my mobile. Right? When you say my mobile, what does it mean? It is not yours. It is not yours. It is mine, isn't it? Similarly, Bible, pen, lot of things are there, isn't it? We say, my means ownership, you own it. Alright? You own it. And when you say you own it, it means no one else owns it. It's mine. Similarly, the Lord said, my church. That speaks of ownership, alright? Speaks of ownership. That's what I explained, the third point. So, number one is, my implies relationship. Number two is, my implies representation. The third thing is, my implies ownership. Now, this doctrine of autonomy, comes from that third idea of ownership. Alright? That doctrine of autonomy of the churches comes from that third point. Which one? Ownership. If He says that it is mine, then it belongs to no one else. It belongs to Him alone. No committee in this world can say that it belongs to them. Alright? Did you get it? No humanly developed, you know, head office or anything can own the churches. Alright? It all belongs to Him. And it is from this truth that this doctrine of autonomy of the local churches emerges. Now we won't go into the details of it. When you look in the New Testament, we see that in every area we see this autonomy being upheld. As we saw earlier about the church, we saw that metaphor of flock, isn't it? And who is in the midst? Who is in the midst? What keeps it together? You forgot so fast. What keeps it together? Tell me. Shepherd, not a fold, isn't it? Not a fence. Not anything put around. It is a shepherd that keeps it together. And similarly, the Lord said, my church. And similarly, when you come to the book of Acts, alright, in the book of Acts, we see the churches being planted in various places in the Roman Empire, right? Apostle Paul and others, even Peter, everyone going here and there and planting churches. And when you look at all that, we see that those apostles never made a head office anywhere. Each church was independent. Each church had its own administration. Alright? There was no head office anywhere. Even the church at Jerusalem was not controlling anyone else. Did you get that? Yeah, so in Acts also we see that same truth. In the epistles also there are various verses that indicates it. And when we come to the book of Revelation, it is beautifully described. In the morning also we have seen a metaphor for the local churches in chapter 1 of Revelation. Which was that? What is it? Lampstand or candlestick. And when you come to chapter 2, there, 2 and 3 there, even chapter 1 also, we see the number of those candlesticks. How many are there? Yeah, 7. They were the chosen ones in Asia. Alright? And chapters 2 and 3, we see the letters that were sent to those seven local churches. And when you look at those candlesticks, they are the metaphors. Candlesticks were not connected by any rod or anything. Were they? No, all were independent. Isn't it? All were independent. In the Old Testament, you see a candlestick. Remember that? Where? In the temple. And even in the tabernacle also. How it looked like? Yeah, you have seen the picture of it, right? Yeah. There is a middle stump then. How many? Yeah, three here, plus the middle one. How many? Yeah, 7 are there, isn't it? Have you seen it? Yeah, that's a candlestick. In the Old Testament, it is all connected. Seven were there, but it was all stood on one stump, isn't it? So it was together, connected. It was one, in fact. But that's not the picture we have in the 7 candlesticks in the New Testament. They are all, what? What? Separated, independent, autonomous. But there is one person walking in the middle of all that. Who was that? Who was that person who was walking in the middle of all that? Tell me. You never read Revelation. You get scared, isn't it? Huh? Who is the one who is walking in the midst of all that? Candlesticks? Lord himself. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is walking in the midst of those candlesticks. He is the only one which connects all of them. He is the only one who is the superintendent of all that. There is nothing else connecting all those candlesticks. What I'm trying to say is this. If you look in the Gospels, if you look in the Acts, if you look in the Epistles, and if you look in the Revelation, we see everywhere this truth of the autonomy of the local churches. My church, unto my name. Now having seen that, there is another thing that we have to remember. When you come to 1 Corinthians, and go through those chapters, there are at least, it gives an idea that there are at least 3 areas where this independence ought to be kept. or in what all areas this independence or autonomous nature should be kept. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We won't read the whole thing. If you're so much interested, you can read it later. But for now, we will read only verse 5. There, Apostle Paul is asking a question to shame those people at Corinth. Among the Corinthians, there were a lot of problems. Now, in verse 5, he is asking this question. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. If you read the verses about that, we understand like this. When there was a problem among the brethren, what do they do? What do they do? They said, we won't settle here. There is nobody who is able to do this. We will take it to the court. We will stand before others and decide this matter. Don't have to go into the more details about that. So thinking about that, Apostle Paul is telling here, don't you have anybody who is wise enough to settle those matters? Putting it in another way, we can say like that, in each assembly, there should be people who are God appointed to settle matters, to administer matters, administer things. Or, churches, each local church ought to be self-governing. Right? They should be self-governing, independent in their governance. Is that clear? Or going sixers? Are able to field it? Or going beyond the boundary? Yeah? Did you understand what I said? Tell me what I said. Yeah? In chapter 6, Paul is asking a question. What is the question? Don't you have anybody wise to settle the matters there? What does it mean? There should be people to settle matters in the assembly. For administration, for governance. There should be people in each local assembly, isn't it? So that means churches or the local churches ought to be self-governing. Did you get that idea? Did you understand that? Each local church ought to be self-governing or autonomous in administration. That is what that question tells us. Number two, we will turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the last verse, verse 58, there we read like this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not vain in the Lord. Notice this instruction. There, Apostle Paul is telling the believers there in Corinth that they should abound in the work of the Lord. Got it? They should abound in the work of the Lord. What it means is where they are planted. That means they are planted in Corinth. Well, it is the responsibility of the local church to do what? Tell me, do what? Yeah, answer. There at Corinth, this local church was planted, the church at Corinth. So when Apostle Paul says that they should abound in the work of the Lord, what is Paul telling? What is desired of them? They should do what in the place? Yeah? Tell me. They should evangelize. They should do the work of the Lord in that place, isn't it? Or they should be self-propagating. They should propagate the gospel in the place where they are. The responsibility of evangelizing or doing the work of the Lord in Corinth is the responsibility of the local church there. They should be self-propagating. What is the first word I said? Loudly. Self-governing. What is the word I said now? Self-propagating. And now when you come to chapter 16, there is another thing that is being told. There, the assembly, there were certain believers who were poor in one place. And now the church is being asked to, you know, collect some money to send to them. Alright? Now Paul is telling, I don't want you to do when I come there. I want you to do it yourself. Not by any outward force. Not even my, you know, compassion on you. But you do it when I am not there. And when I come, give the money. I will take it to those believers and give. Or what it means is, he wanted the church to be self-supporting also. The church has needs and he wanted them to find the sources of or provide for the need of, for meeting those needs. So when we say that each local church ought to be autonomous, these three ideas are there in it. What are they? Self-governing, self-propagating, self-supporting. And when you said self-governing, it means what? They should be people to govern the local assembly. In the local assembly itself. This is God's desire, isn't it? Or they should be autonomous in administration. Got it? And then they should be autonomous in propagation. Propagation has to do with what? Propagate what? Tell me. The word of God. They should do the work of the Lord. Evangelization, giving the gospel to others. And then the third one is self-supporting. It means they should be able to support themselves materially. Got it? So these are the three areas where they ought to be autonomous. Now just now I mentioned about the administration, alright? About the administration, about the propagation, and about the supporting. And we connected with the autonomous nature of the local churches. Now, autonomy doesn't mean that there is nobody over these churches. You remember? In the midst of that seven candlesticks, somebody was walking. Who was it? The Lord Jesus Christ himself. Alright? All these seven churches, seven candlesticks are responsible to what? To that one person, isn't it? The Lord. He is the Lord of the churches. Now think about all the local churches in all the world now. How many are there? How many are there? Even I don't know. Don't try to answer. Alright? We do not know. Thousands are there, isn't it? Think about all those local churches. Who is walking amidst all the local churches? Yeah, the Lord Jesus. He is the Lord of the churches. Why is he walking? Just taking an evening walk? Huh? Burning the fat? I know, isn't it? When you say that he is walking, it means he is concerned, isn't it? He is concerned. He is seeing how they fare. He is seeing how they do. And that's why he's walking amidst the candlesticks. So that means in the churches, if God is ruling, the Lord is ruling, no human being can rule. Alright? There is no human rule. It is the Lord who is ruling. My church and my name. That is why we have this autonomy of the local churches. Now when we say that the Lord is ruling, we should remember through what means he rules. Alright? When we say that he is ruling, we should know how he rules. He rules through three ways. Number one, by his presence. Number two, by his word, And number three, by his men. Number one, by his presence. Where two or three are there, who is also there in his name? He is in the midst, isn't it? He is in the midst. Then his word, that is the second thing I said. He rules by his word. He has given this word for all things in the assembly. For doctrine and for practice. So he has given his word. He rules through his word. And number three is what? Yeah, his men. He has raised men also in each local church to see that administration or governance, propagation and support are being done independently. And who are these men? God willing, we will see it in another class. All right? Well, there are a lot of other things also, but we won't go into the details of all things. Just wanted you to have some idea about the local church. As I said at the beginning, if somebody come and ask you, where is the head office? All right? You should not wonder, till now I had never thought of this. Now I know there should be a head office. Is it? No, we should don't have to think like that, isn't it? In the Bible, we don't have such. In the Bible, we don't have such practices. Each local church ought to be what? Independent or autonomous. Alright? And that emerges from the truth of the Lord's ownership. When he says, my church, neither committee or confederation or anything human cannot come and say, it is mine also. They cannot be double ownership, isn't it? They cannot be double ownership. If it belongs to him, it belongs to him alone. So it is from that truth of ownership that this doctrine has emerged. As he says, as he looks at a local church and says, it's mine, then it is his alone. God owns it. It is his house. Church of the living God. Remember that? We had referred to that earlier. And because of that, as we saw from 1 Corinthians, in three areas, this autonomy ought to be practiced. Tell me what all areas? Without telling that, I am not going to stop this class. You are giving the answer? Yeah, tell me, what is the first one? Self-governing. Self-supporting. Self-propagating. And then thirdly, self. You remember those verses from where we saw it? Yeah, from 1 Corinthians we had seen all this, isn't it? In all these three areas, each church ought to be independent or autonomous. Alright? It's because of this that our churches have no head office as such. Alright? There is only one person who is ruling over all these local churches. Who is that person? Who is that person? Lord Jesus Christ. So our head office is where? Where the Lord is, isn't it? He directly controls everything. And we saw that in three ways he controls all things. Tell me that also. Loudly. By his presence, isn't it? He is there, alright? Secondly, by his word. What word? He has given his word, the Bible. That's the rule for his house. And thirdly, what is it? By his men. Who are those men? God willing, we will see in another class. Alright? So may the Lord help that we may think over these things again and understand this more. Alright? We were looking at only the elementary truths. May God help us that we may understand truths about the local churches. This truth, this important truth about the local churches through this doctrinal things that we shared.